Like to call this meeting to order, please. Apologies to our audience members who were running just a few minutes late. I do apologize for that. If we could go ahead and begin our legislative priorities discussion. And Dr. Adams, would you like to state the purpose of this session, please?
The purpose of this session is for us to review our legislative 2012 legislative priorities. And I think Mrs. Disney and Mr. Morrison have been working together to present something to the board, so I would like to turn it over to them.
Ms. Disney, would you like to start?
Yes, thank you. First of all, I just want to make sure credit is given where it's due and that Mr. Morrison has worked very hard on this with me. And I think that the product that you see, while it's labeled draft, I think it's really a good product. And just the one thing I think that we do need to add to it is that I think we ought to make a statement, and we have, you know, all have to agree on this, of course. But I'd like to make a statement up front that says that while the funding issue is paramount in our platform, so that we can continue to provide excellent service to our students, the real issue at this point is going to be no more mandates. With everything that's happening with the federal government and the state government, school districts are just overloaded and overburdened with new mandates. The cost of them is taking away from our operations. And that our staff has been whittled down to such a skeleton crew that adding more mandates at this time is just going to put an undue burden on school districts and take away their ability to provide excellent education.
Board members, we probably need a brief discussion on adding that, if you want to make your comments. Any comments?
I just think along those lines, I know I've been having that conversation with Dr. Adams and Mr. Carter of having a list of these unfunded mandates, what we're funded, what our cost is from the general fund, so that we can continue to educate our legislators and the community of the impact. So I do think it would be appropriate, and I see that we've got from the FSDA, they already have some language for items for the platform, so we may look at that and borrow from that. I think it's a wonderful idea because that's an ongoing problem for our district and all districts.
Yes. Mr. Pegler, do you have any comments?
No, I absolutely support it.
Okay. Shall we leave it to those who have been working on it already? Mr. Morrison and Mrs. Disney to come forward with the language, and certainly we will have this as a final, not a draft, but a final for our approval on a regular board agenda.
Okay. So, item by item, do any of you have edits or disagreement to the statements the way they're worded or the content, adequate funding? Very similar in wording to what we had before, but I think the way it's worded now places more emphasis on the state's responsibility, and I like the way that it's worded. Any objection or edits for that?
We just have one statement on the PICO funds. We discussed this when it was happening with that. No PICO funds going to traditional schools.
Right.
Most of which are those in most need of upkeep or renovations or those types of things. For no PICO funds to go to traditional schools and all PICO funds to be going to charter schools, I think was a very difficult thing for us to accept as a school district when our needs are so much when it comes to our traditional. I am usually the one who says let's err on the side of being less aggressive, but I really do find that very courageous. I do.
Did you want a different word?
I'm not. Well, I think this speaks to the facts, which I think is what we want to do. And I think that saying to adequately fund the traditional school system on a fair and equitable basis, as same as charters, fair and equitable basis, reinstate and adequately fund the traditional school system on a fair and equitable basis. Shouldn't that say same as charter schools? Somebody.
Reinstate and adequately fund the traditional school system and charter schools on a fair and equitable basis.
And yes, maybe that is more. Rather than pitting us against the charter schools, let's just make sure it's done in a fair and equitable way.
Why not place the traditional school and charter schools equitably on the same
footing?
Okay,
that's fine. Mm-hmm. Okay, I think that. Thank you, Mr. Peck. Mm-hmm. Very much.
I just, in just looking at for the state priorities under voluntary pre-kindergarten, I thought it might make the point more strongly if we quantify the 7%. Because if you look at 7%, it looks very small. Mm-hmm. But if we can give a number per student, how many dollars is that, I think it has more impact.
Okay. I think it's like 175.
And I have that. The summer base student allocation went from $2,562 down to $2,383, and that's the school year. And the summer school went from $2,179 to $2,026. Mm-hmm. And the administrative costs, which we really don't deal with, goes to 4%. So we've lost between the summer school roughly $200+ and the summer school roughly $170+ right there. So I could do that. Per student.
Mm-hmm. And I like the idea, Ms. Simmons, very much of putting how much we have lost per student.
Because it's relative, you're right.
Is that much more impacting than saying 7%. I think you're absolutely right.
Yeah, I think the trend, even if you go back, I was looking to 2005, where it's down.
It's been going down each
down,
and every
down,
year.
But the use of pre-K has increased.
Absolutely.
Right.
Pre-K population has grown, and I would leave,
the funding is
you know, the research shows that, earlier the better.
And we have to close the class because of the decline of funding, even though we have a waiting list of students to do it. We do not get enough funding to be able to support the students that we have waiting to join the class.
So it's obviously board consensus that we have an inclusion of that information.
And I think just to follow up on what Dr. Adams said, that's very important because I think when you see that reduction, without knowing the reason, it looks like there was a decline in need. But it's not that there's a decline in need. There's a decline in funding.
That's
and
right.
that is not obvious when you look at statistics that just show lower numbers. So we need to receive that education.
And to further expand on that, we had hoped to expand to Pelican Island. Well, we are going to be able to put an ESC, but we are not able to do a VPK, again, because of lack of funding.
And
we have 50 on a waiting list in Long County.
And I do have in the legislative packet that the FSB put together amendments to Florida statutes that actually impose more periodic reviews and more you can go on probation, that sort of stuff for some of the providers. So there's more of that mandate which we've been talking about.
For VPK?
For VPK. For VPK, yes. It's in here.
Other state issues or edits? Moving on to the federal page. Once Congress is finished with the debt ceiling issue that they're dealing with right now on the floor, I think they're going to take up some of these bills again. And between now and August 23rd, we may see some significant movement in the bills that are already out there. So I'm not sure that we want to go through this and edit the same way we did. I'm thinking that after tomorrow's meeting with Mr. Crawford and we get an update, and then we see what happens over the next 2 weeks, that would be the time to circulate this with any edits. And I believe that we can do this through email and utilizing our August 9th board discussion to finish the federal portion of it. I think we can spend time on it now, but it's just not going to be fruitful because because of the changes that may take place.
I understand that, but I have a few suggestions that are more from a philosophical perspective, looking at No Child Left Behind.
Okay.
So if I could, if it would be possible to bring those up. One of them would be when we look at that first paragraph and we focus on increasing the achievement of the highest poverty students, you know, I still think philosophically we make the mistake of always focusing on the bottom half when the reality is that we should focus on achievement for all students, not just the highest poverty students, although they are important, because it really makes it seem like everything we do in education, the majority of the kids are high poverty, low performing, and that's not necessarily the case. So I just think that's something to keep in mind. Another piece of this is when we look at the language we're using, you know, as one board member, I really would like us to discourage this continual use of punitive sanctions for everything that happens. And I'll give you an example. In the ASCD legislative platform, when they talk about this, I just want to read two examples of how they shift from sanction and punishment to supporting schools. And one of the statements they make is they call Congress to empower states to shift away from compliance and monitoring as primary functions to providing on-site improvement assistance to schools and staff based on research and development. So again, instead of punishing, it's not that these teachers are intentionally not doing their job. They may need support, and just changing the language, I think, is crucial. Another comment they make is to reconceptualize the goals and interventions for chronically underperforming schools from punitive and unproven sanctions to an improvement system of access to and comprehensive support for enriched curriculum with high-quality teaching and learning experiences that involve all students, family, and staff. And again, it's that moving from sanctions and us as board members and as school districts playing along with that when we know that that's not the way we're going to support our teachers and our schools, because our schools are working hard. And tied with that, they also have language about the whole child approach to education for each student, and they say recognize that ensuring all children are healthy, safe, engaged, supported, and challenged should be a national priority, and encourage parents, educators, and community members to support and provide a whole child approach to education for each student. And again, it's encouraging and having that conversation of moving beyond just high stakes math and reading. You know, that's not all we want for kids. And I think that's part of our responsibility as elected officials and as advocates for education to kind of help set the tone, because I think they've just gotten caught up in just let's look at statistics, let's look at numbers. And if we just perpetuate that, I don't think it's a win-win for everyone, and especially if they're going to be revisiting this. You know, that's our opportunity to speak up.
And a couple of things, kind of to build on what you were saying as far as the monitoring and the compliance. You spend so much of your dollars and time on monitoring and compliance rather than services, you know, for students. And that, you know, is a real problem with federal dollars. One of my big concerns, and I do believe it's going to be totally rewritten and look totally different than what it looks like today, is that school districts our size, like in Indian River County, who have high poverty schools, I'm talking about Title I, your entitlement programs, but are fairly high performing when it comes to school grade, not necessarily AYP, but in school grade, that these dollars are going to be competitive, and we are not going to be able maybe to even apply for these dollars, because when you look at how they're doing well, if you want to compare, you know, if you're using the Florida data. So I have a real worry about that too, that we will not be competitive when it comes to getting those dollars. So I'm very worried about the changes in this. I am for more state and local control. that the federal government needs to give the dollars to the state and down to the local level rather than all this compliance and monitoring and punitive.
Well, I expect that we're going to eliminate the No Child Left Behind language completely and focus
on
the DSEA portion of it. And knowing where Chairman Klein stands on ESEA, knowing that he favors local control, knowing that he favors the federal government being less engaged in education, I think this is an opportunity to address those points that we know we agree with him on, and then to add the kind of language that Mrs. Menes is talking about, where we're, you know, when it comes to accountability, using the positive language rather than the negative language, and not reinforcing their use of sanctions in the first place.
Right.
By talking about sanctions, we are talking about them as if they're going to continue. We want to move in another direction. So I expect that you'll see this looking very different in the next couple of weeks. Anything else? Well, if it's okay with all of you, within the next few days, we'll get you the edits of the state portion. And we can put that to bed and then follow up with the federal portion in time for a discussion at our August 9th roundtable. And then it will be a complete document for our August 23rd action agenda, as well as our August 25th legislative meeting with our local delegation.
Is that going to give enough time for this to be printed other than just a, like this kind of a format? We're not going to have time for that.
No. We can do a dummy, though. We can do a dummy if you want
to. I mean, I would think we could do something to where we have something that's a little more polished for us to hand during that discussion. We want to look as though, you know, we don't want to look too good because we certainly don't want them to think we're spending money on it.
How much time do we have?
Well, that does backfire against you. I mean, it really does at times. We certainly don't want to look like we've put thought and effort into.
What is the time frame here?
Well, if we're going to approve on the 23rd and our meeting is the 25th.
Oh.
Well, we actually could do the state portion on the 9th. And that would give us printing time for the 25th. And today's the deadline to add it to the agenda.
Tuesday we get print.
And are we still going to do the highlights that we mentioned at that meeting about sharing some of the successes we're having in different areas?
Finished so early, do you want to talk about that now?
Well, no, I just wanted to make sure that was still on the agenda.
Yes, for the 25th.
Any other comments? Mr. Morrison, know that we are, this is your time here. I know this is your highlight. This is what you look forward to all year.
I'm in this room a lot in July.
With a straight face, not so much. Is this going to fit in your time frame, sir?
I'll make it fit.
Okay. Thank you. Dr. Adams, you see any problem with this?
No.
Okay.
And I guess just a final comment. I had talked to Mr. Morrison about the unfunded mandates. If we could just have copies for all the board members when that's ready.
By the 29th. 25th.
We would really like that, Mr. Morrison, so that when we do sit and talk, we can talk from a point of information. Data drives us being able to get our point across to our legislators. And rather than assuming that's what gets us into so much trouble anytime you speak to any of your state or national, as Ms. Disney having been involved in that so much recently. You just cannot misspeak because the minute you do, you lose all credibility and they just discard all of your that and any future thoughts.
Okay.
They just do. So we want to make sure.
We'll have to get something out to you ahead of time so you can have a chance to take a look at it.
Thank you, Dr.
If they need to add anything to it.
Can you share your ASCDs?
Oh, sure. Thank you. Please. Yeah, sure. I'll just.
Thank you.
Computer.
Can I ask another question?
Yes, sir.
You know, another opportunity for us, too, would be when the legislative delegation meets at the county chambers in September to also present concerns around unfunded mandates, because I know that the county commission is also probably bringing it up, and I think the more people, voters, see that recurring theme, and the more we continually educate the community about the implications, I think the more success we'll have. So that's another opportunity, and I know that we got an email saying that if you wanted to speak, you had to let them know by a certain date. Mm-hmm. So if anybody's interested in doing that, you know, I will be, and I do plan on doing it, but I think, you know, the more board members and community members that speak up and advocate for education, the better, because everybody has a different angle in terms of what they're going to be presenting. So I just thought that was important.
And we can easily find out when it is that we are scheduled as far as the order of speakers, so that we could be there as a board. Elected officials to elected officials. Of course, you know, if Dr. Adams could scoot over for part of that, that would be nice. But you know, this is us speaking to our peers from a point of strength, because we understand what they deal with politically, but we also understand what is fair and right for us, especially for these children.
It would seem that everybody could speak with one voice on the budget cuts that everybody's had to have, and yet the continued unfunded mandates. It's a double whammy, you know. We're cutting millions of dollars out of our budget, and yet we have more mandates coming down that we have to fulfill that aren't funded. It's kind of a double hit.
Well, and it's just like any laws. Unfunded mandates usually are in place because of people who have done something other than what they should have been doing. And I think we need to raise the bar in letting them know that those of us who have been doing what we should have been doing, you have not had to mandate that for us.
No. Right.
So we need to look at it from that as a positive for our county, our community, our school district.
PICO is a great example of that.
It's an example of making an impractical decision because they weren't aware of what they were doing. And that's, you know, and I think that that's the reality of it, and I hope that the delegation listens. A lot of the decisions that are made and have been made over the past year are made, I think, because they don't really understand what's happening on the ground level. And I put that in there as a priority. Before you vote on a school issue, come and visit a school. Come and visit a school district. Talk to your school boards. And I know we can't do that, but I think that's going to continue while you have this mentality of like-minded legislators, which isn't necessarily bad, but they're making decisions that are impractical.
Yeah, and I think just to further that, you know, when we look at that whole charter issue, a lot of it has become around ideology, and this is one of the fast solutions to problems in education. And yet, you know, they don't treat their traditional schools the same way they treat their charter schools, so they're creating unfair advantages and creating more conflict than is necessary when, you know, the goal is we all want to educate children, and if we need to have choice, we need to have choice, but let's make it a level playing field. And that's where we're getting lost, just demonizing our traditional schools that are doing a good job in many, many school districts, not all.
Well, the logic also taking off that isn't really fair to us as school board members, where you know, fairness and equity are the most important things. And I've said it, you know, we've all said it at different times, but for our traditional schools and our charter schools, it doesn't work when you then try and take all the funding away from the traditional schools under the premise that we have the ability to tax people to get money for capital outlay, and then we are criticized for taxing in order to maintain our buildings so that the buildings don't fall down. So it's an example of the legislature really throwing it back on us, the local school board, and requiring us to do something that they didn't want to do, but we're being forced to do in order to maintain our facilities. So it's just, you know, it's creating all of these conflicts that are very frustrating.
Well,
Sorry, I just needed to vent.
But I think you also have to remember that at the time, we were one of only three school districts who elected to share our capital funds with our charter schools.
Okay.
And instead of being applauded for that,
right,
we are now going to have to suffer the sins of our brothers and sisters in other counties because they chose not to do that. So the PICO funds are now going to be going to the charters where we were fair and consistent in wanting to be inclusive for to benefit all the children, all the students in the county. So that's where it has not been fair. Just like with class size.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to think that we have complied with what we were supposed to have been doing all along, and then we have counties that have literally just snubbed the idea altogether and have never had any intention of going like that.
Yeah.
And now there's consideration to get for forgiveness for those
right
counties. Anything else, Ms. Disney, that you can think of?
Oh, that was good. Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
I thank you all very much. I think most especially we should thank Ms. Disney, who has carried our issues state and nationally. We really do appreciate that, and the fact that she is recognized by people. She wants to speak to them. She knows that everyone knows them, and I've heard this from staffs of some of our legislators, that people know she's not going to take up a lot of time. She gets to the point. She doesn't spend a lot of time talking about, you know, what the best barbecue in town is, and that, which, believe me, happens. Believe me, it does happen with some folks. So that being said, I think staff is comfortable with the
yes
changes.
Yes.
All right. Nothing else to come before us. We will see you at 6 o'clock.
Okay. I might even be able to have a conversation with him.
And you're fine?
Yeah.
Great. Are you going this morning tomorrow to the Church Coast Look Group?
No, I'm not.
No.
I'm not.
Spell these.